Now, it's kind of weird today because we're beginning a four-week series. Last year, we were doing a year-long series, but we're starting a four-week series called This Is Your Home. And the reason we're starting this series, the year with that, is really for several reasons. One of them is, of course, that as we launch the Westside campus, we're hoping to have lots of people over on the west side of Colorado Springs choose to make that campus their new church home. Another reason is as we launch that new marriage ministry called Re-Engage, we want to make sure our families are strong and vibrant as we take care of our own home. So we're going to look what that looks like. But also, interestingly enough, January is typically when we get our biggest bump in attendance all during the year. It's in January. And I'm not exactly sure why. It might be because as the new year starts, in the back of people's minds, there's this thought that they ought to be in church. And so it could be just kind of an unconscious New Year's resolution. I don't know if that's it. But unfortunately, like many of those New Year's resolutions, a lot of people will get started, but they won't necessarily stick with it. Well, whatever the case may be, we're just hoping that those of you who might be joining us just recently or for the very first time, that you'll want to make Academy Christian Church your church home. Because around here, we don't view church at all as a religious duty that's meant to help keep people in line. We believe the church was intended to be a spiritual resource designed to provide support and encouragement to help us on our journey towards heaven so that we all enjoy that journey as we get there. But what I've discovered is often our pride won't let us admit it, but the truth is that we really do need other people in our lives in order for them to be the most fulfilling. In more ways than we might imagine, other people really do enhance our lives on a daily basis. Here's a very basic way of looking at that. How many of you today live in a house that you did not build yourself? How many of you wear clothes that you did not make yourself? Yeah. How many of you eat food that you did not grow yourself? Somebody else helped supply that for you. And so there is this undeniable interconnectedness with our world, especially today in 2020. And I believe ultimately that's because we were created for community. God intended us to live in community. Now, how is it that I know that? Well, all you have to do is go back and look to discover that it was a part of God's design from the very beginning. When we read about the creation account in Genesis, like we just sang about in that song, we discover this very creative God who designed and brought into existence this amazing universe, as well as this awesome earth that we get to live on. And it's interesting, after each stage of creation, we find God kind of stepping back and declaring, wow, that is really good. And when it was time for the earth to sustain living things, we find him creating animals like pandas and panthers and parakeets and partridges. But up to that point, he'd only made, remember, one person. And this time when he stepped back, we hear a very different response. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "And the Lord said, it's not good. It's not good." And what was it that was not good? Well, he explains it. He says, it's not good for the man to be alone. And so I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. And so God went about creating this incredible creation that really was a helper suitable for Adam. In fact, in my study, I came across some top reasons why God created Eve. And it really was necessary. I mean, God was concerned that Adam would frequently become lost in the garden because he wouldn't ask for directions. So he created Eve. God knew that Adam would never get out and buy himself a new fig leaf when he wore his old one out, and therefore he would need Eve to buy him one. God knew that Adam would never be able to make a doctor's, a dentist, or a hair appointment for himself, and so he created Eve to help him with that. And then I think finally, when he had finished creating Adam, he might have stepped back, scratched his head, and said, you know what? I think I could do better than that. And so he went about making Eve. There we go, yeah. Now, personally, honestly, I think God did it that way because he knew, you know, Adam had a job of naming all the animals, And so he waited till after that, because if he'd have created Eve first, Adam would have been way too distracted to get the job done. And so he made sure that was done first. Now, we've picked on the guys a little bit, so we need to, you know, fair pick on the ladies a little bit here too, because, you know, Adam was actually hanging around in the Garden of Eden. He was feeling very lonely, and God asked him, well, hey, what's wrong with you? And Adam said, well, I don't have anybody to talk to. And God said, well, I'm going to make Adam, I'm going to make you a companion, and it's going to be a woman. And God said this to Adam. He said, hey, this pretty lady will gather food for you. She will cook for you. When you discover clothing, she will wash it for you. She will always agree with every decision you make and will not nag you. She'll always be the first to admit that she was wrong when you've had a disagreement. She will praise you. She will bear your children and will never ask you to get up in the middle of the night to take care of them. And Adam, wow, he's amazed. He asked God, well, God, what will a woman like that cost? And God replied, well, that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And Adam thought for a moment, said, what can I get for a rib? Sorry. Now, there was this separation in the creation, but I want you to think about today. Not creating more than one person initially should never be thought of as an afterthought of God. Like he created Adam and then said, oh, this is a mistake, or this didn't work out very well. Because I believe it was not an afterthought. It was actually because he truly wanted to make a point. We were created for community. And so he wanted to make sure that we understood how much we really need each other. And so he very clearly states, it's not good for the man to be alone. See, community is hardwired into our design as humans. Now, somebody's going to say then, well, if that's true, Brian, why doesn't community happen more easily and more often? And the answer to that is, that's because the blending and the merging of our lives into community happens often much slower and takes a more deliberate process than many of us really have the patience for. And let me give you a great example just from an outside perspective how that looks like. Probably the best example could be witnessed for us on the streets and highways of our community. Because when you get out on the road, and I don't know if you've noticed lately, but there's a lot more people in Colorado Springs than there used to be, which means a lot more cars than there used to be. And when traffic is light, it's easy to get around. You can go just about where you want. It's pretty easy. But when traffic is heavy, what happens? Everything kind of slows down. I'm wondering how many of you have had the privilege of traveling at all on the Gap project of construction I-25 between, it's not a privilege at all. It's a real pain because they're doing all that construction. And one of the worst times to be on it, have you noticed, is when they're doing construction and they have to take two lanes down to one. Now, it just seems like those people could just, if they just drive the right speed, we wouldn't have to slow down to a stop. But it's when those cars start to have to merge that we have to be more careful of each other and kind of look out for each other, and everything slows down. And that's what we've got to recognize in community. There's a statement I found that I think is so true. Somebody said, if you want to go fast, go alone. And you can go quickly alone. But they also said, if you want to go far, go together. Because if you're really going to get a long distance, you need to have other people around you. So this morning, we're going to talk about, real quickly, four E's of community. We're going to talk about the essence, the establishment, some enemies, and then some enhancements of community. And so let's start with the essence of community. And here really is what I would think we're looking for when we're looking for true community. True community is, first of all, a place where you can know and be known. And that's something all of us desire. Now, I know a lot of times when people are searching for a church, they're hoping to find a friendly church. But that really is what they're looking for on the surface. Deep down inside, what they need more than a friendly church is a church where they can find a friend, someone that they can be able to connect with so that they have an opportunity to know and be known. And what's interesting is you can be in a crowd and still feel alone. And that's kind of how it feels on this planet, isn't it? I mean, like with over 7 billion people on this planet, it's easy to feel a little bit anonymous. I mean, after all, what does just one life really mean? But when you live in community, you're granted the gift of having your life being known. The good things, the bad things, the terrible things. even some of the mundane things. And when you find authentic community, your life will not go unnoticed because those in your community will notice it. Your life will not go unwitnessed because those people will become your witnesses. And so that's what we're looking for. Second essence of community is the idea of I need to be loved, to love and be loved, to love and be loved. Love is one of the deepest needs of the human heart. And we'll talk more about this later, but we know the church with the unconditional love of God given to us, that that's a place where we ought to be able to find that. Thirdly, it's a place where we can celebrate and be celebrated. And it's fun to be celebrated. Affirmation is exceedingly important to the human psyche. We were so blessed because over the Christmas holiday, we got to visit our grandkids in Missouri. Now, I haven't had a picture of my grandkids up for a long time, and so I said, well, this is a great opportunity. And so here's little Lincoln, the conehead man there, and he was so much fun. But Lincoln was the kind of guy when he was doing something, he's watching us to make sure we're watching him. And then when he gets it done, and we all go, good job, Lincoln. He's kind of like, yeah, I knew I could do that. I'm really good. He loved the affirmation that we love to be celebrated. And so that's important. And then finally, true community is a place where we can serve and be served. Because there are going to be times when we can serve others, but there's going to be times when we need to be served. And probably the greatest example that I could share with that there has to be both of those things, sometimes when we give and sometimes when we receive. Next month, there's a group of our church family that gets to take a trip over to the Holy Land. And when they get over to the Holy Land, one of the places I'm hoping they get to visit is kind of a low spot out on the east side of Israel. And there's a stream of water that flows into it, but there's no outlet. And it's filled with a lot of salt, and it's called the what? The Dead Sea, because it receives, but it doesn't give anything out. Now, what's interesting, over in the southwest corner of the United States, there's also a low spot. It's actually below sea level, and it's thought that at one time it was probably a body of water, if for no reason than for that. But apparently, it gave all of its water away, never received any back, and it's called Death Valley. Isn't that interesting? When you receive but you don't give, Dead Sea. When you give but you don't receive, then you can be called Death Valley. That's how that kind of goes together. So we need that. So that's really the essence of community. Well, let's talk about now the establishment of community. Because one of the few places we find all those things is in community. And so God, if he created us for community, probably provided for that. God created all of us with the need for air, and so what did he provide? Oxygen all over our world. He created us with the need for food, and so he provided us all the nourishment that's necessary for our life. Well, God, if he created us for community, probably provided that as well. And we see that right from the very beginning, because God designed our first community to be the family. To be the family. And the family really is a system whereby every new person in this world can be provided with instant community, parents to care about them, siblings to live with them, extended family who will care about them and for them. Now, when I mention that, some of you are going to say, well, that's not always what happens. And it's true. That's not always how it works. Because there are instances where children sometimes lose their parents, and there's not that sense. Other times there are parents that really actually aren't ready or aren't really fit to be parents. And so that breaks down. That's why I'm so thankful for families who are willing actually to choose to foster, adopt children into their families and say, hey, we'll provide a community for them. And we have a number of our church family who do just that, who provide homes so there can be community for those kids. That's where God intended it to start. And then God designed the church actually to be an extension of the family, to be able to be a part of that. Now, we're going to dig into all of that again much deeper next week, but we see it almost immediately when the church started. In Acts chapter 2, it was launched. And then I want you to notice what these guys were doing. It says all the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold their possessions and their property to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. What does that sound like? It sounds like family. It sounds like real community. And we're like, well, why doesn't it happen more? Well, because we already know. I mean, family life is not always easy. Church is not always easy. Living in community can sometimes be messy. And what we really need to realize is that part of the reason for that has to do with this next E, which are the enemies of community. There are some things that really put community at risk. And one of those would be the far-reaching effects of sin. I mean, let's face it, sin changed our world. The world was a perfect paradise until sin entered the picture. And ever since then, we've had some challenges interacting with each other. And that's because sin tainted the human spirit, creating this sinful nature in all of us. And it's in all of us. And if you've been a parent or are a parent, you discover that early on. We have three boys, and I'll guarantee you, I never had to provide a lesson for any of my children on how to be selfish. Okay, if you want to be selfish, this is really how you're going to need to do that. Say mine a lot and take stuff from other people, or not how to, you know, on how to get along. Never had to give them a lesson for that. You know why? Because they came by it naturally. And Paul really expresses that in Galatians chapter 5. He says the acts of the sinful nature, the impact it has in our lives, is that hatred, the discord, the jealousy, the fits of rage, that selfishness inside of us, dissensions, factions, and envy. Now, it would probably be kind of hopeless, but fortunately, the grace of God actually has the ability to break the power of sin in our lives and frees us instead to live under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to have community, because it says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And if we could just get everybody to live that way, we wouldn't need all the laws that we have to have that govern our relationships. But it's that far-reaching effect of sin that is an enemy of community. Another enemy of community would be the brokenness of relationships, the presence of that broken relationships in our lives. And some of you, maybe sitting in church, might be thinking of another person that, like, you know what, I've got an issue with them, and we've never really dealt with it. And I would just say, you truly have to care about another person in order to address a broken relationship. That has to be a priority. And Jesus, it was interesting, he actually said, if you find yourself in a worship service and it comes to mind that there's a broken relationship, you ought to take care of that first. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, stop, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and mend that broken relationship and then come and offer the gift. Another enemy of community is what I would call a spirit of exclusion. And all of us are going to struggle with this a little bit, because all too often, the only people we want to include in our lives are the people that we like or the people that are like us. And so people that maybe we don't like or that are not like us, we can tend to exclude them if we're careful. And then finally, I would say an enemy of community has to be the absence of authenticity. And I realize it can be dangerous to be authentic, to really open up. And so we don't share everything with everybody. But sometimes we share nothing with anybody. As one pastor noted, the only kind of community that a lot of people experience happens in those few minutes either before or after the service, when people stand around for a few minutes and kind of ask each other superficial questions. You know, like, so how's it going at work, Jake? Fine, Phil. Say you're driving a new car? Well, it's new to me, but I bought it used. Well, so what do you got going on this week? Oh, not very much. Well, it's great connecting with you, Jake. Same here, Phil. And that's about it until next week when Jake and Phil are going to give it another round. But you know, the Bible says that true community has the ability to revolutionize a life. But see, authentic community is a place where masks come off and conversations get deep and hearts get vulnerable and lives get shared and accountability is invited, and tenderness flows, and people really become brothers and sisters. One of the reasons I'm so excited about our engaged, re-engaged ministry, that's where a lot of that's going to happen. And the truth is, we're going to have to work at that to make it happen. Well, one more E, and then we'll wrap it up for today with a few takeaways. The final E are just what would be some enhancements to community. What would be some things that we could do to enhance this community? One would be, we trust that God's brought us together for a purpose. We just say, you know what, I think I'm here because God brought me here for a purpose. Now, I could ask a lot of different ones of you here today, how did you end up here today? And some of you might say, well, it was a drive-by. We drove by the building and saw it and said we'd check it out. Others might say, I got an invitation from a friend, somebody who attended here and said I should attend. Others might say it was an internet search. There's a lot of people that say, how'd you find your way to Academy? We just Googled, you know, church and you showed up. Here's what I would say. It really doesn't matter. It's not that important how you got here, because here's something I believe with all my heart. You're not here by accident. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why when you drove by, something clicked. There's a reason why that invitation finally brought you here. There's a reason why the internet took you to that website. You're not here by accident. So you have to say, hey, if I really believe that God brought me here by purpose, that would make an incredible difference. And he brought you here because this church, there's so many great churches in Colorado Springs, but this church is different from any other church in the city. In fact, it's true of every church, because every family and every congregation is a unique combination of people and circumstances never to be repeated again. And so there is something that if God brought you here, you can receive here that you can't receive anywhere else. And so part of saying, recognizing that is saying, hey, I trust God brought us here for a purpose. Secondly, another enhancement to community is to walk with each other through the ups and downs of life. And it's always good to be with people through the ups. One of the ladies after the first service shared with me they're expecting another grandchild in 3 weeks, and they're so excited about it because their kids never thought they'd have another child, and so that's one of the highs. But the Bible says we're supposed to hang through the lows too. In Romans 12 it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. And life is filled with a myriad of highs and lows. The challenge is a lot of times we don't really share the lows when we go through them. In fact, you would be amazed if we could have just conversations today, because the people around you, you might look at them and say, hey, they look like life is okay. But I bet you'd be surprised at some of the challenges that the people just right around you are facing. There's some marriages that are really struggling. There's some parents who have kids that are prodigals. There's people sitting there and their jobs are really uncertain. Others who have finances that are insufficient. Others that just heard a report from the doctor that their health is failing. And others who are facing tough decisions that just seem overwhelming. And that's when we come alongside people and we walk with them through the ups and downs that really brings a sense of community. And then finally, I would just say, we stay when it would be easier to walk away. We stay when it would be easier to walk away. Sometimes, because God brought us here, he has a purpose in mind that he wants to accomplish. And so he starts to go to work on us using the people around us. But sometimes that can be painful. And so I've seen people say, you know what, it's just be easier if I go somewhere else. Well, you could. If God has you enrolled in a class, he's trying to get you to learn something, you say, hey, I'm going to drop the class and go somewhere else. I guarantee you this, God will just re-enroll you wherever you go next. And he'll bring some people around you that are almost exactly the same as the people you left, so he can accomplish his purpose in your life, because that's what he wants to accomplish. And so you stay when it would be easier to walk away. So let's wrap it up with some takeaways, and then we can get out of here for the day. Here's some takeaways I would just want to say. Make sure you stay in community. And that's going to be the hardest things. We live busy lives. We've got so much going on. But we've got to recognize Satan's scheme is to divide and conquer. Because he wants to isolate you so that he can exterminate your faith. And I want to share with you an illustration. I imagine you've heard it before. But someone just shared with me recently, just in the last few weeks, how when they heard this, it made them think. There's a pastor that went to visit a man in his congregation who hadn't been in worship for a number of months. And it was a cold night, and the man had this warm fire going in his fireplace. You know, the wood snapped and it popped as it burned, and the coals in the flames had this deep red glow. Well, the man invited the pastor in, offered him something to drink, and then invited him to sit in front of the fire. The pastor made a number of attempts to engage him in conversation, but most of those just ended in this man making a long list of excuses about why he couldn't, you know, shouldn't be in church. And then finally the man said, you know, I know why you're here, Pastor, but my heart is right with God. And so isn't that all that's important? And if so, then why is it that I need to come to church? Well, wisely, instead of responding, the pastor just remained silent, sipped his drink, and they sat silently just in front of the fire for a little bit. And then after a time, the pastor actually stood up. He went over to the fireplace and he picked up some of the tongs, and reaching into the heart of the fire, he pulled out a large flaming coal from the fire and set it, separated from the fire, on the hearth in front of the fireplace, and then returned to his seat. Well, the flame on the coal quickly died out, and in a very short time, the deep red glow started to dim and eventually turned dark. Well, then without saying a word, the pastor stood again, and using the tongs, he picked up that coal and placed it back into the middle of the fire and then returned to his seat again. Well, once in the fire, the coal instantly burst into flame again and quickly regained its deep red glow. Well, after several moments of silence, during which they both just stared at the fire, the pastor just stood to leave. And so the man walked him to the door and shook his hand and then smiled and said, "Thanks for coming, Pastor. I'll be in church next Sunday." And I hope that helps you understand why you need to make sure you stay in community if you want to stay in a warm place in your relationship with God. It's just helpful. Secondly, make sure you're connected in a spiritual support group. We need some other people around us in this journey. And true community is developed much better in circles than it is in rows. And so you're sitting in rows right now, and so you can get to know a few people, but not necessarily have deep community unless you're sitting in circles. And that's why we encourage everybody here to get attached in one of our connect groups. And there are a number of those connect groups that are going to be starting in the next few weeks. And so right now, as we start the year, it'd be an excellent time to find a connect group if you don't currently belong to one. Now, on the Northside campus, we have this booklet. There's a bunch of them in the chairs. You're welcome to grab one of those, and they'll let you know every way the possibilities of places where you could get connected in a spiritual support group. You can take one of those with you. On our Westside campus, new groups are going to be forming very soon, and so just watch out for more information. And then one final thing I want to leave you with. I would encourage you in 2020, just make sure there's some relational room in your life. Some of us, we're so busy or we're so relationally full that there's not a place for anybody else to connect. And what if this year God would want to use you to actually help another person get connected in community? The challenge is that's not going to happen if there isn't any space available for them. And so I want to ask, is there an empty chair around your relational table? Have you made an empty chair around a relational table? Well, the following words that I'm going to share with you were copied from a sign that was on the wall of a children's home in Calcutta, India, and it was entitled "Anyway." And I wanted to close with it just because if we're going to have community, we're going to have to try to live like this. It says, "People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. People need help but may attack you if you try to help them. Help them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you do good today, it may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness will make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway." And what I hope we build as a church family, we've already got a great start, but we still have a ways to go, is to build community. Because I believe you are not here by accident. This is your home. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for how you created us to live in community, and yet you already understand the challenges of that because of our sinful nature and so many other things that separate us. And so I pray that you would grant to us the grace that we need to be able to live in community with others, the courage we need to even break through some of the challenges. I realize in a group this size, there's a lot of people who've probably been hurt by other individuals, even in churches. Some of them maybe even well-meaning, but misintentioned. And I pray that you would grant to us that ability to live in authentic community. So guide us through this month as we explore this. I thank you for people who are here today just to check out our church, and pray that if you've brought them here for a purpose, they would be able to know that. And Lord, through us, build our lives to be the community you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.